Hey there, I'm your host Alexis Newland and you're listening to The Brave Podcast. I am so happy you're tuning in today. Each week, a friend and I get together and talk about what makes them brave. So sit back, relax, grab your favorite cup of coffee or tea, and get ready for some engaging conversation. Hey guys, happy October. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode of The Brave Podcast. So I believe this one is episode 40. I said last week is episode 40, but it's actually this one. This is episode 40. I cannot believe I've done 40 of these. It blows my mind. But yeah, episode number 40. And it is October, and it's the first week of October. And I am hoping right now, as I'm recording this intro, it's September. I am hoping that it is cold and I'm in a hoodie in October. The first week of it. All right, anyway, I'm rambling now. Okay, so this week's guest is my friend Sharla Flood. Sharla is absolutely amazing, and she joins us today to share her testimony. Her testimony blew my mind. As she was telling me her story, I'm like, oh my gosh, I've known you all these years and did not even picture this being your story. So it's so cool to see how God has completely and totally transformed her life. So it was so cool to have her on. And she also talks about dealing with something very difficult with one of her children and how God came through with that as well. So again, thank you guys so much for tuning in. I hope you love my interview with Sharla. And we have a little treat for you at the end of it. Her and I talk about coming to the Lord. So if you are not a Christian, I'm spoiling it. Okay, I'm going to spoil it anyway. So if you're not a Christian and you're thinking about becoming a Christian, and let me tell you, it is one of the most absolute, amazing, best things that I've ever chosen for my life. And if you're thinking of even jumping on this road, say the prayer at the end that Sharla leads us in. It's great. Like, she came to me after this was recorded and wanted to do this salvation prayer for you guys who may not know Jesus. So if you don't, listen at the end, say the prayer. I just ruined the big surprise, but who cares? Say the prayer and your life will be forever changed. So I just want to let you guys know that's at the end, even though it's supposed to be a surprise, but now you know. All right, so without further ado, here is my interview with my awesome friend, Sharla Flood. All right, so this is the Brave Podcast, and my guest today is Sharla. I just forgot your last name. Flood. Oh my gosh, Flood.
I thought it was you.
All right, so introduce yourself and like why you're awesome, and we'll kind of go from there.
Okay. Hi, my name is Sharla and I am married to my wonderful husband Charles. We've been married for about 10 years, and I have two kids. I have Caleb, who is a second grader, he's 8 years old, and Abigail is my youngest. She's 5 and she's going to be starting kindergarten in the fall.
Wow, it's so crazy. I remember them being so little, and it just blows my mind that she's going to kindergarten and he's in second grade.
I know. Every day of motherhood, it kind of breaks your heart a little bit. Like, it's exciting to see them grow up and do new things, but it's also very sad when a season ends.
How has school been with things with COVID? Have you been doing most of the teaching for doing homeschool for both the kids?
Yes, Abby's preschool got canceled, so I tried to do what I could with her, but Caleb, he had to homeschool for 3 months, and that was really difficult because he likes to be out and about. He's really social, and so he didn't really understand a lot of the things, and I tried to really not share too much because I still wanted him to be a kid and not worry about anything that he didn't need to be concerned about. So we did what we could, and we only did the things that were required. We had to cross out optional academics because he just couldn't do it all, and so I needed to keep him a kid and let him still play a lot and try to be, you know, as much of normal as we could be under the circumstances.
Yeah. I'm praying for next fall that we can at least go back to school for the kids' sake, for socializing and being with their peers. That'd be really great.
Yes, us too. We're praying for that.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to get into your testimony, how you came to know the Lord and kind of where you are now in your walk.
Okay. So I wanted to share a little bit about where I came from, like in my childhood, but I won't really talk about those events. I just kind of want to like share to set up where I was when I really came to the Lord. So I was raised by two amazing parents, and I have an older sister. And my parents got a divorce when I was 10, and they had been married for like 17 years, and I thought everything was fine. I thought they were like super happy. And so it was really shocking one day to just come home and see that my dad's clothes were gone, and I didn't understand. And so I walked through that, and it was very difficult. And I thought that that would be, you know, one of the worst things that happened to me. And looking back, sometimes I wish it were, but 3 years later, I was living with my mom during that time frame, and I still had a great relationship with my dad. He was really persistent in initiating time with me and taking me to dinner, and I'd go to his house every other weekend. So I still definitely had contact with my dad and a relationship with him. And then, like I said, 3 years later, when I was 13, my mom and I were in a car accident, and she passed away.
Wow.
Literally, like, I mean, technically on the death certificate, she wasn't pronounced dead until she was at the hospital. But I really think the Lord took her home when I was in the car with her, holding her in my arms, which was a really difficult thing when you're 13. I mean, I think really at any age, that would be like
really
the most
heavy.
And so, and I actually am finally at a place where I can talk about it, because just recently, actually, I got amazing healing where you can go back in those memories that you have that are so traumatizing, and you ask Jesus to show you where he was in that moment. And so when I look back at that moment, I see Jesus holding my mom, and it wasn't me. And I have so much peace and healing that came from that. So I really think that's why I'm able to even talk to you about it and remember it as a redeemed memory, and that's when the Lord called her home, and that's the day that she was supposed to go on to glory. And even though it didn't look like how I thought it would be in my fairy tale life as a 13-year-old, it was what God's plan was for my life and for my mom's life, and I just knew that I needed to trust that. I was raised in the church, but I didn't really have a relationship with God. I didn't understand the role that Jesus played as far as having a relationship with him either.
Yeah.
I knew that he was, you know, God's son. I knew that he died on the cross, but it kind of just stayed as head knowledge, and it never really made it to my heart.
Okay.
So as I went through high school, I just tried to survive just after being through everything I had gone through. I really poured my heart into activities and into cheerleading, and I traveled a lot with that, and we're on national teams, and that was really fun. But it wasn't really until college that some of those wounds started becoming more apparent to me, as far as like, oh, I think I have some grief and some things that I haven't dealt with that I didn't really know how to deal with.
Yeah.
And that led me to meeting a boy. And it's very toxic when you're wounded.
Yes. It really is. It's so funny. My mom used to tell me, my mom has passed on as well, and she would always say, watch who you attract in your brokenness when you aren't really healed yet, because you're light, and light sometimes attracts bugs, and if you're not doing well, you might attract bugs you don't want, like roaches and other things. That's kind of how she would explain it. It's so funny. It makes me think of times where I had been really dealing with bad things. I would just make some of the worst choices. When you're not healed, it can really affect you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, bless her for teaching you that and passing on that.
Yeah.
That would have really helped me. No, not that it was mainly, so I'll kind of go back a little bit. So my best friend introduced me to him, and he's kind of like the epitome, like when you're 19 and you think of like this dreamy boy that you want to date. I mean, he was all those things. He was charismatic. He could command a room. He could walk in and be everybody's friend. He was really funny. He had a great sense of humor, and he was athletic. He was super strong. He was all muscle. It was just like my dream. You know, I was like, oh, I've been through so much in my life. I'm going to put a bow on your head and call it good. Like, you're my prize. Like, it was so fun. And so we started dating, and we fell in love, and we had a 3-year relationship. But during that time, God kind of was really getting a hold of me. I remember this one time when we first started dating, I had this moment where I felt like it was a crossroads, where it would have been a great time to listen to that red flag and walk away, and I didn't. So I remember vividly we had this conversation one day of just what life looked like for both of us and if we were to continue down, you know, this road of dating. And he really didn't desire the things of God. Like, he recognized that God created the universe and created him, but it wasn't something that he wanted to pursue.
Okay.
And I was like, well, I didn't want to pursue God at that moment, but I knew later in my life I would want to, and I'd want to raise my children in church because that's how I was raised. And yeah. So I had that moment. I don't know if you've ever had that, but I had that moment where I was like, now would be a good time to walk away because I'm not too far in.
Yes.
But I wasn't strong enough.
I hear you, because there's been times where, like, you see those red flags and you're like, I don't know, for me sometimes it's investment. And then other times, I think I can maybe change that person.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought that. You're right. I totally thought that.
Yeah. And I think God is so sweet to give us those red flags and I'm learning to listen to them better, because I feel he'll be like, here's a warning. Just, I want you to heed this and kind of go with your gut. Go with what I'm telling you with this. And it's sometimes hard to take that path, because you could lose something from it, but God would have something better.
Because I was looking at this whole package. I'm like, well, you're everything that I think I want. And so just that one thing, but I didn't realize that one thing would be my only thing. When everything else, when you lose everything else in life, God remains. And so he should be the first thing and always the first thing. But sometimes you learn that the hard way. And I'm thankful for what I went through, even though I wished I would have listened to that red flag, because it would have saved me a lot of heartache and it would have saved else's heartache. But anyway, so just to progress in the story, about 6 months after we started dating, he played on a football team. He got a scholarship in college and he was getting ready to graduate. And he called me one day to tell me that he played a special position and he was going to be doing this position for his friend on the football team during scout day. And I was like, oh, great. And we had plans after he graduated from college. He was going to move to the same town as me because his college was in Texas and he'd be moving back to California where he was also raised and from. And we were going to plan the rest of our life. And so I get a call after the scouts came and he said, I can't believe this, but they said I was better than most of the people in the NFL. And the people in the NFL don't even have the teams don't even have a roster position for the position that he played, because it was such a specialty position. But he basically like blazed the trail and they created a roster position and he was drafted into the NFL.
Wow.
So here I am, like, I'm half excited, but half like, well, what about me? Like, I thought I had plans and I had dreams. And so it was like just this mixed bag of emotion. But again, being still like 19 at the time, I was like, well, this is amazing. And I've always had this life that people wouldn't really want to be me. And I was trying to get away from that. I mean, I don't know if people labeled me as the girl whose mom died, but I always felt that.
I understand that. Yeah.
And I just didn't want people to feel bad for me. And I didn't want to be defined by like the girl that didn't have a mom.
Or pitied.
I just wanted to be normal. And so I felt finally like this not only made me normal, but it like catapulted me into like this position that so many girls would want to be in. And so I was like so excited that I got to experience this life that even now there's so many people, like even fathers with their sons, they just love football. And it's something that, you know, Americans love to watch football. It's just a part of our culture.
I love football. I hope it comes back in the fall. I'm like, I will revolt if there is no NFL in the fall.
So I really enjoyed it. He got drafted to a team in New York. So I would just fly back and forth to New York. And I was
living a
really extravagant lifestyle.
At 19.
Yes, at 19. I probably turned 20 like when the season started. And I mean, it was really exciting and exhilarating because I would get to go to all these really great parties. I spent like Thanksgiving and Christmas with the athletes and their families. And there was no social media back then. And so it was kind of like everything secret. So it was fun in that sense. But so it was just a really neat opportunity and very exciting. And it kind of just made me feel alive, because for so much of my childhood and like my teen life, I was so broken and wounded that like my boyfriend became, and his lifestyle became, my source of joy and of fun and of like just feeling alive again.
Yeah.
And so about 2 years into that relationship, I was at a football game, and I had really gotten used to these little Cinderella shoes I was wearing. And, you know, at first it came with a lot of, like, guilt of, like, oh, we're, you know, like, I shouldn't spend that much on dinner. There's, you know, there's people that can't afford food. And there was, like, just weird emotions that I was struggling with in that lifestyle. But then I kind of came accustomed to it and really actually enjoyed it.
I'm not gonna lie. Yeah, I don't blame you. That would be amazing.
And so there came a point about 2 years into it, I had a girlfriend that had moved in with me, and not really under the blessing of her mom, because she was raised Christian and I was not walking with the Lord. I was not saved and I didn't have a relationship with God. I wasn't living for him. I was not really making great choices. And so her mom was a little nervous, I found out later, of her moving in with me, but she felt like the Lord was really putting that on her heart. And so I'm really glad that her mom blessed her in that, and that she listened to the Lord and she moved in with me, because she would pray in her room and pray in our apartment, and she would leave books out, and she didn't do it on purpose, but I would open them and I would, like, go right to the page of, like, I remember this one time in particular, I picked up her book and I opened it up and it went to sexual immorality, and I just freaked out. I'm like, this must be an accident. And I didn't really understand conviction, but I was super convicted, and I just thought, oh my goodness. And so the Lord had been working on my heart and I didn't even know it. And so fast forward a little bit later, I was at a football game in New York, and I was on the 50-yard line. I was three rows up with all the NFL wives, and I was just really living the life. Like, yeah. I felt like I had finally come to this place, and I was okay with being there, and I was celebrating it, and I enjoyed it. And it was a home game, and their stadium held about 80,000 people. So if you can imagine and put yourself there, there was about 80,000 screaming fans, you know, as the home team runs onto the field, and
a lot of excitement.
Everyone wild. And all of a sudden in my head, it just went quiet. And I thought, what just happened? And I'm looking to the side of me to see if people are still screaming, because I can't hear a word. And I remember looking to the right-hand side of me, and I see this gentleman about 3 feet from me, and he is doing the body motions of screaming like your favorite team just ran onto the field. And I'm like, okay, so people really are yelling, and I really can't hear. And I just, like, laser focused on my boyfriend, who was running out onto the field with the rest of the players. And for the first time in my life, I heard God speak to me. And he said, he is not your husband, and this is not your life.
Whoa. In the middle of a football game?
Yes.
Wow. And you've already been 2.5 years in.
Oh, I was invested, like you said. And I did not know that God spoke to people. To me, he was just, you know, a God in the sky that my grandparents believed in, and that they passed that on to me, but it was never, he was never real to me. I didn't know that he still spoke to people. And it was the first time that I had heard his voice. And I just thought, I remember my heart just sinking to the pit of my stomach. And I thought, oh no. And my first thought was, I'm 3,000 miles away from home. Like, what have I done?
Yeah.
How do I change? And also I had fallen in love with this man. I mean, we had plans to get married. We had this future in my head and in his mind as well. And so it was really difficult to have that happen.
How did you break it to how? I'm like, this is like such a great story. Like, how did you? Oh my gosh.
Well, after that happened, I remember driving home from the football game with him, which, by the way, NFL players actually just get into their own vehicles and drive out of the stadium.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that.
I did not. I thought they would all, like, coasted away in a car or something like that. Was like,
no, they don't have drivers. Some of them really old cars that they had in college that they love, and it's really funny. It's not what you think it would be.
No.
And so I just remember driving out of the parking lot with him and just being so scared, because I didn't want to tell him what the Lord had just told me, because we never talked about the Lord.
Yeah.
And it was really weird to me, and I didn't understand it, and I didn't know what choice I was going to make. And so I remember flying home, and I was just graduating from college. It was in December, and I was finishing up my last semester. And I had a Christian teacher, and we were having a party at somebody's house, and he was giving out, like, year-end rewards. And, you know, I was, it's so funny. I mean, I'm a humble person, but this is kind of a funny story, just to set it up for you. He, like, had the class vote, and he would give away funny prizes. It was a marketing class. And so he gave me this, like, superstar coloring book because he said I was, like, the most popular girl in the class. And which is funny because right after that moment, I went up to him and I said, I am so scared for tomorrow. Like, my whole life has been planned out for me to go to school and to do this. And I've crossed all my T's and I've dotted all my I's, and I don't know what I'm supposed to do when I wake up tomorrow. And I just start crying. I mean, here he's like, Miss Popular.
Yeah, and she's, like, amazing. You know, yeah.
In the middle of this class, like, bawling like a baby, like, I don't know who I am. And I didn't care at that moment because I just, I really, like, was broken. And I remember the Lord had told me that about, you know, he's not my husband, but I was still in a relationship with him. And so that professor looked me in the eyes and he said, do you believe in God? And I said, well, yeah, but I don't go to church. And he said, well, you've got it all wrong. I don't work for Fresno State. I work for God. I'm employed by Fresno State. And I was like, oh, shoot, you know, like, I've got some problems here.
Yeah.
And so I remember just leaving that party, and my friend, who also wasn't really walking with the Lord at the time, but she's like, she was just freaking out. She was like, I have the chills. There is something wrong. Like, I know you're in love with that boy, but I think you're supposed to break up with him. And I'm just freaking out with you. And
this
so,
friend too? Oh my God.
Yeah. It was crazy.
That is really crazy.
So I did what all teenagers would do. I mean, I was probably 20, 21 at this time now, because we were dating almost 3 years. And I decided I will change him. So I started going to church, and I didn't fully give my life to the Lord yet. I was kind of like one foot in. I'll test it out and see how it is. And my friend was still talking to me about the Lord, my roommate. And so this was all in January. And then by March, I decided, okay, it would be good for me to move out to New York now, and I'll just take my Bible with me, and I will get him saved, and I'll bring Jesus.
Wow, you were going to move out there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Disobedient to what the Lord had told
me. Yeah, I'm just like, wow. I mean, I've done it too. I have totally done it too.
Oh, yeah. I was like, we will work this out, because I had only heard the Lord say those, like, I don't know, 10 words. And then I didn't hear anything else, and I didn't understand it. And I'm like, well, this is the life I'm building for myself, and I really want it. And, you know, life was all about me at the time, I guess. And so he bought my plane ticket to move out to New York in March, and I had given up my apartment. I packed up everything I owned.
Oh my gosh.
And I was about 2 weeks away from leaving. So I was going to be giving my notice at a job that I had for 7 years. I was going to wake up the next day and give my notice. And I had started waking up each day, and I wasn't feeling well. Like, I had this nauseous feeling all the time, and I really felt like I just wanted to vomit at any given moment. And I just knew that I was lacking peace, and I knew it had to deal with moving to New York, but I just kind of chalked it off as like, well, I'm sure it's normal. Like, I just have a little bit of fear. It's going to be new and different.
New thing, new start.
Yeah. And so I went to dinner with some girlfriends the night before I was going to quit my job, because it was 2 weeks away from moving. And on the way home, it was pouring down rain, and I was driving home, and I went into vision. Mind you, I'm still not a Christian. Like, I would not have considered myself a Christian. I was not walking with God. I didn't know, like, just beyond that one time God spoke to me, I didn't know that he gave people visions. I didn't know him this way. So I'm just driving home, and I go into this vision, and I see myself getting on the airplane. And I, like I had before, I saw myself walking up the steps, and myself looked back at me, and God said, if you get on that plane, I will give you over to your wicked ways.
Whoa.
And for anyone listening, I mean, God probably and usually doesn't talk to people this way.
No.
But he needed to talk to me that way, because I was not listening, and I was going to ruin my life, and I was going to marry the wrong person. And there was nothing wrong with that man. It was just that well, for one, he wasn't serving the Lord, but two, it was God didn't intend for me to be with him.
No.
It was my plan and my purpose. And so I was disobeying and I was not in the will of God. So in that moment, I'm still driving. It's raining.
I'm like anxious for you right now. I'm just like, I could not imagine getting that response from the Lord. Oh my gosh. Like,
oh yeah, it was crazy. And the Lord, he's so generous in what he did for me because he showed me everything I would get in that lifestyle, which was also to my detriment because it was like made the decision harder for me, but it made it like more cut and dry. So he showed me all the really great parties and all the fame and all the money. And for me too, like beyond woundedness, I had a lot of issues with financial security. So like my boyfriend and that lifestyle represented like, I'll be set for life. Like yeah. I always wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. So that was just going to make all my dreams come true. I would never have to worry about working. And so anyways, when the Lord had said that to me, that I will give you over to your wicked ways if you, you know, get on that airplane, and he showed me that lifestyle, he also showed me to the right side, there was this other path and it was dark, and not because it was demonic, but the Lord said, this is my path and this path you'll have to walk by faith. And so it was like literally a fork in the road and I had to make a decision. And so I went home, I fell on my face and just cried out to God and just apologized for the way I was living my life and just fully gave my life to the Lord that night in my apartment on my bedroom floor all by myself.
That's a lot of faith to have.
I was so scared. Like the fear of God truly entered me. And I was like, I never want to like disappoint God again. And not only was the fear of God in me, but the love of God, that he would go to such great lengths to save me from myself and the decisions that I was making. So this is also something crazy, but I just remember that night I got on the phone and, you know, I wouldn't recommend this to people to break up with somebody after 3 years over the phone. We should probably do it in a more cordial, like gracious way, but I just really didn't have time for that because I just felt like this urgency, you know, to obey God. So I just called him and I'm like, you're not going to understand this. You're probably going to think I'm weird and a freak, but I just feel like I've heard from the Lord and you are not my husband and I cannot move to New York and we just have to break up.
Wow. And how did he take all of that?
Well, understandably, it was a lot for him to handle. And he really pursued me for about 3 years after that, which made it really difficult because trying to convince myself and people that I just decided that, you know, to break up with him, because when I was sharing like, oh, the Lord told me to break up with him, like it just really wasn't going over well with people because they're like, well, you love him and he loves you. So like, why wouldn't you want to be with him? And you guys are compatible. And, you know, there were just so many reasons that people were giving me. And I still like, I love with my whole heart. And so I was madly in love with this boy, but you know, it wasn't God's will. And so I just felt like if I were to see him again, or if I were to continue any kind of communication, that I would have such a temptation. Like, I just felt like I wasn't strong enough to do those things and put myself in those positions because I didn't trust myself to be able to walk away. It was like in that moment, in that night, I had enough strength and enough courage. And this is a brave podcast, enough bravery to like walk away. And it was God that gave it to me because I wouldn't have been able to do it alone.
It's amazing. And the thing that too, that like, that stuck out to me is that you said that he pursued you for 3 years afterwards. That would be so hard. Like I would think, I'm like, okay, God, you told me not to, you know, marry this person and he's not my husband. Could you also make him kind of go away so he's not like constantly there? That would make it so hard. It wasn't like just cut and dry. It was Charla.
And his friends would call me and he would call like my dad, and my dad just didn't understand. So my dad would give him my information of like my address and, you know, my phone number and things like that. And so it was really difficult. It was a really hard time in my life. I spent a lot of nights, most days and nights, just in tears, like crying out to the Lord. And, you know, I thought a lot of it was that I was crying was him, but I think it was just representing letting go of things that I wanted. It was mm-hmm. also just the woundedness of the grief that I never dealt with, because frankly, I didn't really know how. I mean, I went through like counseling at my school, but apart from Jesus, it can only go so far. Like, yeah. you know, Jesus can truly heal like the inmost part of your being and,
exactly.
and are and set you free and redeem and restore. But beyond that, I mean, you're just talking about your grief and there's not really like a way to get it out and a way to bring healing to your heart. So, mm-hmm. you know, in my heart and my mind, I was grieving the loss of that relationship and my life that I had wanted and that boyfriend. And, but I think too, underneath it all, I was grieving my mom. I was grieving the divorce. I was grieving, you know, the life that I didn't get to have that I thought I should have gotten. So.
You had a lot of loss prior to all of this.
Yes, a lot.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So. Yeah. And what's amazing, I mean, I'll share this, is just God has given me everything I've ever wanted. Like when I was 19 to 22, you know, I thought that that was the life that I wanted. But I remember there was even circumstances where there was one day I shared with my ex-boyfriend the dreams that I had, where I just wanted a quiet life. I wanted a simple house. I just wanted, you know, a husband and kids and just to be happy and to feel joy in my home. And he never really settled on those. Like, he was a visionary and a dreamer, and he had like these dreams of owning yachts and multiple houses and traveling, which there's nothing against that. That was in his heart and part of his desires to do. So whatever the Lord would do with that in his life, so be it. But for mine, that's not what I wanted. And so there's so many days, especially now, I don't know what it is. I'm 37. And maybe I just thought, like, when I was fast forwarding and looking into my life in the future, like, I feel like I'm there, like everything in my heart that I wanted, I feel like the Lord has given me. But had I held on to what I thought I wanted and those fake pearls, I wouldn't be here, and I wouldn't be experiencing everything that God has for me and the fulfillment of, you know, his promise on my life, because I would have messed up and I would have, you know, missed the boat.
Yeah.
But I have an amazing husband, and he loves the Lord, and he's so humble and kind, and it's so important in a relationship, the humility, because marriage is hard and marriage is to make us holy, and some days you don't really feel like being holy, you know, like when you're in an argument, you're like, come to this place where it's really amazing. And I love my life, and I love my family and my kids. And I just look out my front door and I have these moments with the Lord where I'm like, God has given me everything I ever wanted. And I'm so happy that I obeyed. And if anyone listening like feels the Lord nudging them, like, I would just encourage you to obey that still small voice so he doesn't have to get really loud like he did to me. But
wow.
He truly doesn't want to, like, I think in my mind, I always had this understanding of God that he just takes away, like, because I had so much loss that I thought, yeah, like, God just takes everything away. But that's actually not, I mean, he does do that in some circumstances, but I think what I want to say is that the things that he takes away is so that he can give us something better, you know, and something in his will and his plan and his purpose for us. And that's what's happened in my life. And so I would just encourage anyone to really follow what the Lord is leading them to do, because he has their best interest in heart.
Yeah. So after all that happened, how long did it take you to kind of like, not like submit, but kind of like be at peace with like what had happened between you and your ex and like moving forward without him and kind of following the Lord completely?
Well, I immediately started following the Lord completely. Like, because I had given up my apartment, I needed to move back home, which was also very humbling and embarrassing, you know, as you just graduate college and you're like, oh man, I'm back at home and I am still working as a waitress and I don't know what I want to do with my life. And so I kind of felt like God stripped me of everything I knew. I mean, I just felt like I was at ground level and I'm like, I have nowhere to go but up. You know, I was devastated. I was broken. I was depressed. I was eating Jack in the Box Oreo cookie shakes every single day.
Those are so good.
And I was like, man, this is terrible. But I just inundated myself in the word and going to church. I joined a life group. I surrounded myself with believers. And I was like, I need you guys to surround me because I am not strong enough to like go. And so I just had amazing girls around me that just pushed me towards Jesus, and just the Lord just blessed me of being able to hear him. And just when I sought him, he was there. And slowly but surely, the Lord blessed me with an apartment a couple months later with that same amazing roommate, my bestie at the time and still is today. We've been friends for like 20 years.
Wow.
And it just, she blesses my heart so much that she obeyed the Lord in the hard things, and she ministered to me in my brokenness, and I saw the love of Jesus because of her. And so, you know, it was hard probably for about 2 to 3 years, even though I was pursuing the Lord and I wasn't looking back. And every time he would try to call or come to my house, one time he really did show up to my house and I didn't open the door, which devastated me because I'm like, that is so rude that I did not open the door for him. But I knew myself that I was not strong enough and that I would fall into believing that I could fix things. Because I'm like, I heard from God and he's not my husband, so I don't need to try to make him be my husband.
Exactly.
Because this isn't going to work. And so, you know, if I had to do it all over again with the wisdom I have now, I wouldn't have been probably so mean. Even though I wasn't mean, but I would have been more gracious to handling someone else's heart than I was. But I just knew for my own walk that I needed to do that because I just couldn't, and I just wasn't strong enough to be able to walk away if I had seen him or talked to him. So did I answer your question?
You did. You totally answered my question. Okay. Yes.
I don't think there was like an actual moment where I was like, I'm healed. It was just kind of like this painful, traumatizing, agonizing process of just walking with God through the pain and just crying and getting the grief out. And, you know, the church I go to now is really good with, you know, it's filled with the Holy Ghost. And so the Holy Spirit moves and people get set free of, you know, heartbreaks and addictions and emotional baggage and things like that. So that would have been really helpful back then.
Yeah.
But I mean, God worked with me where I was in my walk with him and where I was in an awesome church at the time. And so we just walked together through that.
Oh, and so here you are today and now we're friends. So it's like realizing I didn't know any of this about you. So this is like amazing. Thank you. Wow. Like what an amazing story.
Well, for those of you that don't know, I mean, Alexis asked me months ago to do her podcast, and I was like, you know, just kind of like, I'll put that on the back burner. And so Alexis has amazing follow-up and follow-through, and I just, I couldn't really say no. I'm like, I was trying to fly under the radar, but and I'm glad.
And it's so funny, because, like, I don't know if I'm going to talk about, I'm like, this was awesome. You were so good at this. It's like, I'm so glad I asked you.
Yeah,
your story is amazing, and it's definitely going to inspire someone who has been told something by the Lord and to kind of follow through with it and to not kind of, to walk in that faith.
Yes, absolutely. Just ask him for the courage and the strength to do it, because sometimes we just don't have it on our own, and
no,
we can do all things through him that gives us strength. So.
And that's the nicest thing about God, is like, he knows that about us, and he will definitely provide ways to like, give you that courage and that strength and to kind of hold you up when you're like, I'm falling. I can't handle this, Lord. Please help me. And he's there. He's right there.
Yes. And so as painful as it was, I'm really thankful in hindsight that I had that experience, because that moment on the ground in my apartment was one of those defining moments of my life that I'll never forget. And I've never turned my back from the Lord since that moment. And I just, he was real to me. It was a raw, like, human moment. And I just, we'll never forget it. I'll never, ever forget it. And I just love the Lord so much. And he has shown his lavish love towards me in so many ways since then. And, you know, at the time it was devastating and hard and I couldn't believe what he was asking me to do, but it was for my own best interest. And it was so that he could fulfill the desires of my heart, because at the time I didn't even really know what the desires of my heart were.
Yeah. And so now you're like a mom and you have a business too, right?
I do, but I've kind of put that on hold to focus more on my kids.
Yeah.
I started organizing, and I had a professional organizing business, and then COVID hit, which I mean, I wouldn't let that stop me, but I had to focus on homeschooling Caleb, and now the Lord's calling me to homeschool Abby, and so for now, I just kind of set that aside.
Yeah. I hope you pick up again. I watched your videos, I'm like, this is so helpful, because I am not organized at all. My view of organizing is grabbing things and throwing it in the trash bag and throwing it out.
Tetris was my favorite game as a kid, and my mind and my brain works like Tetris, so I love to like find spots for things and to declutter and get rid of things. It's like, oh, therapy to me to like be able to have less.
I need this mindset. I totally do. I love it. All right, go ahead.
Fact, but cortisol levels actually increase when you have clutter in your home, and so your body can be stressed and you not even realize why. So that's also another inspiration to help you declutter and get rid of things that
that's
you don't
so
need.
True. Like on cleaning days when I like take a weekend and I just clean, I'm like, I just feel so much lighter. That's why.
Yeah.
All right. I wanted to ask you about your kiddos, specifically about Abby. Something happened to her a couple of years ago, and see if you would feel comfortable sharing that with everyone.
Oh, sure. Yes. So about a year ago, last June, we have a really big iron gate in our backyard. So I live in this small town, and we have our driveways in the alley. And we have an iron gate that's about 30 feet long and probably about 300 pounds. And we close it at night, but it basically secures our property. And one morning, we were getting ready to leave, and my son at the time was 7 and Abby was 4. And I had asked my son, even though I usually don't ask him, to open that gate, because one time it rolled on his foot and he couldn't walk for like a day because it was heavy. But I remember that moment, he asked me, well, can you get me fishies? And I said, yeah, I'll go get some fishy crackers and you open the gate and then we'll meet back at the car. And I didn't factor in my 4-year-old, who was really a little bit wild at the time and a little bit wanting her independence and to be like big brother. And so he rolled the gate open, and in the meantime, in the split second that it took him to open the gate, she got on her scooter without a helmet and decided to ride into the alley. And I was walking back down the hallway after I got the fish crackers, and Caleb came running inside, and I could tell by the sound of his scream and his voice, I could make out that there was an emergency, and he just kept screaming, "The gate fell on Abby, the gate fell on Abby," and he ran like to inside of our house away from Abby, and I dropped the fish crackers and I ran. And usually in those experiences, I usually fly, like I don't push through. And I had just like a month before, I think I was talking to the Lord about like helping me not to retreat when there's like hard things, and to actually like in emergency situations to be able to push through. And yeah. So there was this moment where I was running through the garage and I could see the gate had fallen on her. And I thought, oh my gosh, she's dead. Like I just literally thought that my daughter was laying in the alley dead. And there was like a split second decision of like, do I run or do I have this moment where I fall on my face and not want to see what I'm about to see? And thankfully, the Holy Spirit just took over me, and I just ran as fast as I could out there to the gate. And our gate is like about 300 pounds. And I mean, on a good day, I can lift maybe 20 pounds. Like, I am not a weightlifter. And I saw her under there, and she was whimpering. So I'm like, she is alive. But I mean, not to be graphic, but you know, when somebody has a head wound, the head bleeds the worst. And yeah. So I'm not exaggerating when I say that she was. I mean, this might be graphic, but she was literally laying in a pile of blood, and it was so horrible. But in that moment, the Lord just took over me, and I truly believe, I mean, I'm not this weirdo that, like, talks about angels a lot, but, like, I just know that there were angels there that helped me get that gate off of her, because I lifted up the gate, and she was pretty far under it. She was about 4 or 5 feet under the gate, so I not only had to lift it because she couldn't move, I had to push it off of her a good 5 feet, and all by myself, because I'm in the alley in the middle of the day.
And Charles isn't home. It's just you.
Right. There's nobody around. Like, even if I screamed for a neighbor, nobody would have heard me. I didn't have my phone to call an ambulance. And so I did it by myself, and I scooped her up. And I just remember, like, this overwhelming peace and thankfulness just came over me that she was alive. And I was really scared to look through her hair and see like how bad it was, because in all honesty, I thought, oh my gosh, like this is going to be horrible. Like I'm going to have to hold her head together. Like that's what I thought. But thankfully that wasn't the case. Caleb did help me find my phone, and I did call an ambulance, and the fire department came and they helped me. And initially them, and I, you know, this whole time I was praying over her, but I was definitely in shock, you know, as a mom.
Yeah.
And the fireman said, you know, when I first saw her, I was really nervous and I thought we'd have to take her for sure by ambulance. But as I stand here and I'm seeing her come to, I think she's going to be okay. And so they left and I was going to take her to the doctor, and I realized I can't because my car's stuck because there's this huge gate in the way. And without all that adrenaline and angels and Jesus, I couldn't lift.
I couldn't move the gate.
And so I called my pastor, and because she lives down the street, and her and a good friend came, and I was telling them, you know, just last night I was praying persistently and consistently for Abby to be safe. Like I just had this unction from the Holy Spirit that I needed to pray for her. And I looked at my pastor and I said, I don't think my prayers work. Like this happened. And I prayed my face off last night for my daughter. And she looked at me and we had that moment and she said, had you not prayed, you'd be planning a funeral right now.
Wow.
And it really spoke to me just how important our prayers are and how the enemy likes to convince us that they don't.
Prayers don't matter.
Not powerful enough. They're not going to prevent, you know, something from happening or things like that. And so whenever I feel the unction from the Holy Spirit to pray for something, I really try to obey that unction because of that experience. And so anyways, to make a long story short, she had, when I took a picture of the wound the next day, it was actually showed up in the picture that she had this like about a 3 to 3.5 inch area that looked like it was, had been sewn together. And my pastor had said when she was praying for her, she saw the Lord close the wound. And so Abby didn't even need one stitch.
That is amazing.
She didn't have to go to the hospital. The Lord truly healed her. It was an absolute miracle.
That is beautiful. And like I see her today and she's like the most like light and bubbly and happy-go-lucky kid you could ever imagine.
Yes, it was amazing. And I went through a lot of trauma with that. And like, I think I had a little bit of PTSD just because it was so traumatizing to have to, you know, witness that. And I also, I had this like compassion for people that actually lose their children because it is so devastating. And I mean, I didn't experience that, but I felt like I came really close to it. And so I just am so thankful that it didn't have, it had the outcome it had and it wasn't different. So I'm thankful for her.
Thank you for sharing that, Sharla. I just remember hearing that story in church and just loving how the Lord took care of everything and took care of you and it and Abby. And it's a beautiful story.
Like you and I were talking before the recording, but, you know, I really had this mentality to try to prevent every single accident. And in counseling, this man asked me, would you have been able to prevent it if you were standing there? And I said, no. And he's like, then why do you feel guilty? And I'm like, I don't know, but I feel bad that I'm the mom and I didn't prevent it from happening. But I truly learned like that's where your trust in Jesus comes in. Like we're only human. We can only do so much, you know, and I don't need to feel guilty. And the Lord protects our children above anything else and above what we can do because he loves them much more than we can fathom.
Yes, he does. He loves us. He loves everyone. Much more than we can fathom.
Oh, I know.
My mind.
I know.
And I have to remind myself of that. Like, cause you encounter people who you're like, God loves you. And you are so irritating, but God loves, just, he loves everyone. Like, doesn't matter what you've done or who you are, or he still loves you and he's still waiting for you to come to him.
Yeah. And if there's someone listening, like when you're talking, just until recently, actually, like when people would talk about the love of God, I'm like, I don't understand. Like they're so lovey-dovey when they talk about the love of God. And I've been a Christian for like, I mean, really walking with the Lord for like 15 years, but I don't know. Maybe I just don't understand. I just don't get it. Yeah. You know, I just always really struggled and I'm like, wow, they must just really love Jesus, but they just, it's like they had their moment and until recently, like when I really went through another level of counseling and depth with the Lord, I really truly got in touch with how much God loves us and how much Jesus loves us. And yeah. So when you say that, I can relate to you, but then I can also relate to somebody who might be listening that's like, oh, that's not for me, or I don't get yeah. it. But the closer you walk with the Lord and the quiet time that you spend with him, if you turn on worship music or you read your word, when you go to church, like that intimate walk with the Lord is what brings that intimacy with him mm-hmm. and truly start to begin to actually feel the love of Jesus and God for you. And it's amazing.
It is absolutely amazing. So I asked all my guests, what are you loving right now?
Like, to do, like a hobby, or
like to do, like what's going great in your life, like just anything. What are you loving?
Well, I baked a cake this weekend, and it was nice. I mean, I didn't get to eat it because I'm gluten free, and silly me didn't buy like a gluten free cake mix, but it was for the 4th of July, and I knew it would bless my kids, and so I made this really festive cake, and it was 4 layers with strawberry filling.
Ooh.
But the white cake was strawberry filling and actual strawberries, and it was 4 layers, and I made homemade whipped icing, and it was so fun.
That sounds amazing.
I enjoyed that. So I like to bake. I bake pies and cakes and cookies. I don't know why. I don't really announce that often, so people might not know that about me, but
yeah, I didn't realize that. Yeah. I also love to bake, and it's funny. When I bake stuff, I don't normally eat it. I give it away.
That's good. Me too, it seems like.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I know it went in it. You can have it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This pie crust is really good, but I know what's in it.
Yeah, here you go. Take my calories.
It's really fun because it brings a lot of joy to my family. They love different things that I bake, and yeah. it's just fun to see the kids' expressions and things like that. So that's really fun, something I'm enjoying.
Very cool. All yeah. right, Charla, and then my final question for you is, when did you decide that you were brave?
Today? No. about an hour ago, when I had a podcast. No, I mean, I would say it's definitely been a journey. I'm not somebody who I would say, like, that's not like an adjective that would first come to mind when I'd be describing myself. It'd probably be like one of the last things, because I tend to be like more timid and shy and reserved and calculated. And I like to like make sure it's God before I make my next step and things like that. But I would say probably, I mean, through that time in my life and my testimony that I shared from 15 years ago, like that was super brave, but I wouldn't consider myself like a brave person probably until more recently.
Okay.
I just understood, like I said, like the love of God for me. And with that love, I guess comes bravery, because you know how much you're loved.
Yeah.
And perfect. Cast out all fear.
Yes, it does. Charla, thank you so much. This is so awesome.
You're welcome. I'm so glad that I was able to do this, and it was really fun. So I hope it blesses someone.
So Alexis, I just want to offer your listeners an opportunity to come to know the Lord and invite him into their hearts. And even if you're listening and maybe you've been a Christian in the past and you've walked away from your faith and just want a closer relationship with the Lord, we just invite you to pray with us right now. And you can rededicate your heart, or if you don't know God and you want to accept Jesus into your heart so that you can be saved and go to heaven, it's a really simple prayer. And we just invite you, wherever you're at, if you're driving, we encourage you to pull over.
Yeah.
But if you're not able to, just don't close your eyes.
Yeah, keep them open. Nope. Please no crash.
But I'm just going to say a prayer, and you can pray it in your heart or out loud, and accept Jesus, and you'll have the assurance of your salvation, and you'll get to go to heaven, and you'll have your name written in the book of life. And so I invite you to do that now. Dear God, I thank you for my life. I thank you for creating me. I ask you to forgive me of my sins, and I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is your Son, and that you sent him to die on the cross for my sins. And on the third day he was resurrected, and through him I will have eternal life. And Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for making salvation readily available to me and for loving me. And I pray that you would come into my heart now and that you would change the way I think, the way I feel, and that you would transform my mind and my heart to bring you glory on this earth and for eternity. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And the Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So I just want to assure you that it's really that easy. I mean, Jesus died on the cross and made it that simple for us to be able to come in communion with him and one with him. So by faith, you are saved if you prayed that prayer and rededicated your life. And I will be praying for you that the Lord connects you to the right people and the right Christians and the right church and just community of believers that can help you move forward into your new life. And welcome to the family.
Welcome. It's going to be great. You're going to love it.
Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning in to today's episode. Wasn't Sharla amazing in her testimony? Just was so great. And it showed me today how powerful a testimony can be. It's just, you never know where someone's been and where God has brought them to. And so it just blew my mind. So I hope you guys loved her story as much as I did. Also, if you became a follower of Jesus today or rededicated your life, congratulations. So excited to have you a part of an awesome family. I tell you, walking with Christ has been one of the best decisions I've ever made. And I am so glad that Sharla initiated doing this. It's been great. And so if you did take that leap today, you said that prayer, congratulations. Shoot me an email if you feel comfortable, reach out. If you know someone who is wanting to, send them the episode, have the prayer with them. It's such a great life-changing decision to make. And so congratulations. It's awesome. Love having you in the family. All right. Here are my three asks. My first ask is, of course, is to subscribe. And you can do that in two ways. You can subscribe on your podcatcher, whether it be Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Spotify, Google, Amazon. I think they're doing that now. Even Pandora. You can subscribe in any of those places. Also, you can jump on my email list. And the way you do that is go to www.apeachandcali.com. And it's in the show notes, too. So you can see where the website is. Go to contact us, put your email in there, and then boom, you're on the email list. Super easy. And then you get the episodes a day early, and you might be privy to some giveaways that I'm doing. So like last month, I gave away Starbucks to the first three people on my email list who told me what their favorite episode was, or no, what they were loving at the time, what they were loving in their life at that moment, what was their positive for the week. It's something I do in my email every week. I name something positive. I started doing it during COVID, we're still in COVID, but like in COVID as a way to find the positive because I was just so irritated by all the COVID stuff and all the shutdowns. God's like, find one good thing. And so I started doing that in my emails. So I had my readers or listeners tell me their positive thing. And it's been kind of a fun thing I've been doing. All right. My second one is share. If you know someone today who would love to listen to this episode, share it with them. It's great to do. And then finally, subscribe, share, ratings. I knew I'd get it. I always forget one, guys. Ratings. Ratings help me know what you're loving and what I need to work on. And I love reading the comments you guys leave. I love getting the email messages, the text messages. I appreciate you all so much. All right, next week, my pastor will be on. Pastor Sandy Crane. I have been going to the Revival Center, I think this time around 8 years, the first time 4, this time 8, I think. I might be getting that wrong. But yeah, I've been going for a while, and my pastor is on the show next week, and she shares her story, and you're going to love her, you guys. All right. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. Bye.